Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Mark My Words here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Certified Coach Mark Schall here with you for the next hour to discuss with you issues that are pertinent to your growth, your development, and your happiness. So welcome. And before I introduce my guest for this show, I just wanted to say, you know, I just finished teaching a three-day coach training seminar with IPEC, the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, where I did my coach certification and where I've been an instructor for about 6 years now. And what an amazing weekend it was, and as they always are. And this is just a great class. And the class asked me to sing once they found out that I do that. So I closed the weekend singing a song that I think relates to tonight's topic. It's a song by Michael Scheib called If You Only Knew, and it's from the show that he also wrote called Through a Glass Darkly, which is a show about, among other things, addiction, desperation, and low self-esteem due to not feeling good enough in a world that seems at times to force us to be what we're not in order to be accepted. The refrain is, if you only knew, if you only knew, what would you do? And it ends with, what would you do if you only knew that you are beautiful? And that brings me to tonight's topic. You know, we often feel judged, and are in many instances, on our appearance, our style, and other outward things. And that causes us several challenges. And it costs us quite a bit. Low self-esteem, not feeling confident or attractive. And I often wonder what would be possible for so many of us, men and women alike, particularly young men and women, if we all only knew that we were beautiful. So we live in a visual society. The daily decisions we make when it comes to presenting ourselves to the world are oftentimes overlooked. But these decisions, for the reasons we just discussed, have an undeniable impact on our lives. From the types of partners we attract romantically, to the salaries we command, to the choices we make about physical appearance, all tell the rest of the world how we want to be treated. So joining me tonight is confidence coach and beauty expert Kate DuPont. And whether you're making a career switch or advancing in your current field or just trying to attract a mate or just navigate your way around the world with confidence, Kate is here to show us how beauty and style can boost confidence and allow us to create the life of our dreams. What I love about Kate is her mission. She's on a mission to inspire women and girls to find inner confidence and reach their full potential. She's a graduate from New School University, having held marketing and PR roles in the beauty industry. And she uses her insider knowledge of the beauty industry, which has led her to become a beauty and lifestyle expert. So, Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mark. I love the introduction. That was so, so beautiful. It's great to be here. Hi, everyone listening. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. It's been a long time since I have seen you, actually, because it was a while ago that we met.
It was. For all the listeners out there, I met Mark, I want to say almost 3 years ago. I was working at a public relations agency here in the city, and Mark did three seminars for us all about effective communication and leadership in the workplace, and it was absolutely life-changing. There were so many great nuggets of wisdom that you brought to the table, and it really helped me tremendously, not just in my professional life, but personally as well. So it was wonderful. As Oprah would say, there were a lot of aha moments in the class. So I'm always forever grateful for that time that we spent together, and I still use those tips and tricks that you taught us in my daily life, both professionally and personally. So it's great to be here. It's great to be reconnected with you.
Great. Well, it's great to be reconnected, too, with you, Kate, and thanks for being on the show with
Absolutely.
Us this evening and
my
giving
pleasure.
My listeners all the wisdom and experience that you have. So I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Wonderful. So Kate, tell us a little bit, how did you get started in your career in the beauty industry?
So I got started in the beauty industry back in 2005. I took a job as a sales associate for a top skincare company called Kiehl's. I was in college at the time, from Hawaii. I was 19, new to New York City, and I spent 4 years working with men and women to find solutions to common everyday problems, common beauty concerns like dark circles under the eyes, acne, thinning hair. You know, these were all issues that I spoke to consumers about every day for several years, and I was there to help them find solutions to these concerns. And I realized very early on in my career in beauty that I wasn't selling body wash and shampoo. I was really selling hope. So a body wash that might have soothed someone's senses after an exhausting, demanding day, or a fragrance that allowed someone to muster up the courage to ask for that promotion, or a hairstyling product that made someone's husband notice them and say, honey, you look beautiful today. So as a teenager working in that store, working at Kiehl's, I realized very early on that beauty was a powerful tool, and I wanted to devote my life and my career to helping women look and feel their best. This is going to sound really funny and strange, but I almost felt like I worked in magic. You know, that the transformational powers of beauty are so powerful, they're undeniable. And it's incredible to see lives changed as a result of feeling and looking one's best. So that's how I got started in beauty. I started in sales. I worked my way up that corporate ladder. After 4 years at Kiehl's, I entered a career in public relations and marketing, working for some of the top PR firms in the world. And it was an incredible, incredible experience, and that kind of leads me to what I'm doing now as a confidence coach and a beauty expert. So all good stuff.
Great, great. So let me ask you, when you say, like, for example, a fragrance that allows them to muster up the courage to ask for that promotion, can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So when we look good, we feel good, right? We all like to pamper ourselves. You know, having that daily treat, maybe it's that daily ritual in the shower where your body wash just smells so good, it invigorates your senses, you feel unstoppable, you feel like you can take on the world. So if you've got that signature fragrance and everyone knows you for wearing this fragrance and you feel so powerful, it's your signature scent, and you feel like you can take on the world. You spritz that fragrance on, and you walk out on the sidewalk, and you feel like, okay, I can conquer my day. I feel good. I look good. You know what? I'm going to do something that I might not normally do. I'm going to walk into my boss's office. I'm going to ask for a promotion. I'm going to say, this is what I've done for the company. This is all that I can bring to the table. You know, let's work together. I want to do more in this job. I want to do more in this field. It really just gives you the confidence when you look and feel your best, whether it's a fragrance, whether it's a lipstick, whether it's a body wash, whatever you love, whatever makes you feel good is going to make you feel confident, and confidence is really the key to success.
Great. You know, it's interesting because so I hear you talk about confidence and success and power and esteem. And, of course, as a life coach, those are words that really resonate with me. That's what I work with my clients on developing. So it's interesting to hear you talk about that from the beauty perspective, because it's not really usual when you hear people talk from the beauty industry, at least in my experience. You don't really expect them to be talking about the underlying inner things. Because, you know, beauty is seen more as, you know, this sort of shallow, just, you know, make you look pretty kind of thing. So it's really interesting about how,
that
if you look good, you feel good, you know. And,
absolutely.
So that's really great, and that's exciting for me to hear as a coach.
Good.
Explain a little bit to us about your role as a confidence coach.
So I'm a firm believer that confidence is really the secret to achieving your goals, and it's really what every single successful person possesses in this world. It's the ability to look at yourself in the mirror and say, yes, I'm going to achieve my goals. I'm going to work towards my dream. I have the ability to create the life of my dreams, and no one else can tell me otherwise. And for me, you know, confidence is really about embracing and owning who you are. And it's really summed up by my favorite quote of all time from Oscar Wilde, the great Oscar Wilde, which is, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. How great is that?
I just quoted that actually in the class this weekend.
It's my favorite quote. And it's really about owning who you are, being authentic to who you are. So really, in marketing, we call that a point of difference, right? Working in marketing and public relations for all of these years with some of the best beauty brands in the world, we call it the point of difference. What makes our brand different from that other brand? It's the point of difference. So identify your point of difference. What makes you special? What makes you unique? Tap into it and embrace it. That's how you're going to achieve more confidence. It's not trying to be like everyone else. It's not looking at your girlfriends and saying, oh, they're prettier than me, they're smarter than me, they're more popular than me, I want to emulate them. It's not about emulating anyone. It's about finding who you are and embracing that. It's about having the confidence to live your life, not anyone else's life, but yours. So that's really my job, my mission. I feel like we're all kind of put on the earth to do something. That is what I'm put on the earth to do. I'm here to help women be more confident using beauty as a tool. So think of me as a cheerleader for women. I'm cheering on the sidelines. I'm telling you to go for it. I'm telling you to pursue your dreams. Even if everyone else around you is saying no, you're crazy. Why are you dreaming this big? You could never do that. You're crazy. I'm here to motivate you. I'm here to boost your self-esteem. And I'm really here to tell you that anything is possible if you believe in yourself and have that confidence. So I've kind of embraced these two worlds of confidence and self-help with beauty, using beauty simply as a tool to promote a more confident life. Just like meditation is a tool to relieve stress and increase productivity, and exercise and nutrition are tools to achieve a healthier body, beauty is just a tool to promote your best self. I'm certainly not telling women, put this lipstick on, you're going to be more confident when you wear this lipstick. Absolutely not. Beauty is simply a tool to promote your best self.
That's really great. It's really great. You know, I think most of my listeners will agree, since many of them are coaches or studying to be coaches, that these concepts that you're talking about are all quite consistent with what we do as life coaches in helping people live their dreams and have the confidence and have the confidence that they need. And you know, it's interesting because I know that in nursing homes, even they will often have people come in. And, you know, they'll do the female residents of the nursing home, and they get their nails done.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of people wonder, like, you know, you're 90 years old and you have Parkinson's or you have dementia. Really? You want to get your nails done? But it's so important. It's important for them to feel
it's
something
so
about their
powerful
appearance.
You know, I'm really happy you brought this up, Mark, because back in high school, I must have been about 15 or 16, I was a volunteer at a nursing home back in Hawaii called Kupuna Waiola, and they actually had a salon in the nursing home, and every week the women would clamor to get to the salon to get their hair set and rollers and get their nails done. And I really bonded with this woman named Lucy. She was such a firecracker. She was so funny. I remember every day she tried to get me to get her ice cream. There was a Jack in the Box right across the street from Kupuna Waiola, and she's like, hey, if I give you some money, can you get me a milkshake? Can you get me some ice cream? I'm like, no, I'm not allowed to do that, but I can take you to the salon. And she used to love getting her hair done and her nails done. And these women were in their 90s with Alzheimer's, with dementia, and they felt so good after coming out of that salon. They felt so pretty. They felt so happy. They felt so good. So that was another example, you know, before I started working professionally in beauty, seeing the impact that this little salon had in this nursing home. It's such a powerful tool. It's incredible.
Wow.
It's really incredible.
That's great. That's really great to hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to ask you a question on another angle of this, if I may.
Of course.
What would you say to people out there who really don't like wearing makeup? And let me expand on the question a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of women reject the traditional notion of beauty, fashion, and makeup because they feel very strongly, too, that subjugates women to a male-dominated society's notion of what a woman should look like. And they feel that notion is a source of pain for many women and that it damages their self-esteem, and it manifests in conditions like anorexia, bulimia, and other emotional side effects. And many of these women prefer a more natural appearance, if you will, choosing not to wear makeup, you know, and not to shave parts of the body that women in the United States tend to shave in order to appear feminine, not dressing in the way society expects women to dress, et cetera. So what do you say to all of that?
I'm so happy you asked this question because I meet a lot of women who really don't like wearing makeup, and they're almost against wearing cosmetics, and when they tell me that, they kind of look at me expecting me to be shocked and tell them, no, you really should wear makeup. Let me get my makeup kits right now, and I will apply makeup on you. And I would never tell women what they should or shouldn't look like. I encourage women to embrace whatever it is that makes them feel beautiful and confident. If that means not wearing any makeup, that's great. You know, I'm not here to tell someone that they should or shouldn't do something. I encourage women to really just embrace whatever it is that makes them feel good. If that's the no makeup look, if that's not wearing a stitch of makeup, so be it. But regardless of your personal style, you know, if you love makeup, if you love wearing a full face of makeup, or if it really isn't for you, there are some very basic grooming habits that really everyone, both men and women, can benefit from. So number one is taking great care of your skin. The skin is the largest organ of our body, and it's critical that we take care of it. So always make sure you're protecting your skin from the damaging effects of the sun. I was on the National Council of Skincare Prevention today, just kind of perusing different statistics about skin cancer, and it's pretty startling. It's alarming, actually. Skin cancer is the most common form of cancer in the U.S., and one in five Americans will develop skin cancer in the course of a lifetime. So using sun protection, if you're going to be outside playing sports, playing swimming, you know, we're going through a heat wave right now on the East Coast and throughout the rest of the country, wear sun protection. Wear sun protection. Also consider, you know, practicing a daily skincare regimen tailored to your skin type. If you've got really oily, acne-prone skin or really dry skin with eczema, make sure you're treating your skin according to your skin type. You know, being diligent with our dental hygiene, making sure you're visiting your dentist for cleanings and checkups twice a year. These are all beauty practices, really, that we can embrace to be our best selves. So regardless if you love makeup or you don't like it, there are still key grooming habits that we should really all embrace to be our best selves. Again, I'm not here telling women you have to wear makeup. I'm judging you if you don't wear makeup. Absolutely not. Going back to my favorite quote from Oscar Wilde, own who you are, embrace who you are, be yourself. If that means not wearing any makeup, own it, girlfriend. I am supporting you all the way.
Great. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So I kind of always wondered about this, is that I kind of have always had this theory about skincare products. So I'd love your comment on this. And the theory is this. I really never moisturize. And a lot of people always ask me.
Well, you're naturally beautiful and very handsome.
Thank you. Your check's in the mail, honey. Your check's in the mail. and it's what's really funny is that, you know, people are always telling me that I look way younger than my years. And I really appreciate that. And, of course, I hated it when I was 25 and I looked like I was 12. But and they said, yeah, you're going to love it when you're in your 40s. I'm like, yeah, that's 100 years away. Well, that has now arrived, and I do appreciate it. And people often ask me, like, what do you use? What do you do? What's your secret? What kind of moisturizer do you use? And I'm like, I don't use any. And I always had said that I have a theory that I think when you use a lot of that stuff, it actually has the opposite result in the long run, and then it makes you just need more of it, and that's how they sell you more.
Well, you know, it's funny. I think genetics has a huge role in how people age. You know, there are some women in their 90s with absolutely no wrinkles. Their skin is perfect. It's like porcelain. So I think genetics.
My mom is, she'll kill me if I announce her age on the air.
Don't do that.
Yeah, she's in her 70s. She hasn't got a single, like, you know, crow's feet around the eyes. She hasn't got those.
Wow. Yeah, I think genetics plays a huge part in it. Simple is always best. You know, you don't need to use 10 million different products on your skin. Identify your skin type. Identify your concerns. If you've got really oily, acne-prone skin, stick with oil-free products. Stick with products that don't have a lot of oils in them, that aren't going to make you break your, aren't going to break your skin out. So really identify what your skin type is and find products designed to treat those concerns. So keep it simple. You know, I always tell women you don't need to spend a lot to look good. Don't feel pressured to get all of your makeup and all of your skincare from pricey department stores. You can go to the drugstore and find incredible products with cutting-edge innovation and technology. You know, work within your budget. You do not need to spend a lot to look your best. Keep it simple and get a skincare regimen designed for your needs. And don't let the salespeople sell you 1 million trillion different products. You know, it's so easy when you walk into a department store, someone may pull us and say, oh, you need to wear this, and you need to use that, and you need to buy this.
Sure, well, yeah, they're working on commission, and they want to sell the stuff.
That's part of it. But, you know, be educated. Educate yourself. Do some research online. You know, read about different ingredients and different products before you go to the drugstore, before you go to the department store. So really do some due diligence and educate yourself before you go shopping for skincare, because it's so easy to get lured into this trap of, oh, my gosh, I have to spend $300 to maintain a skincare regimen. You really don't. Do some research, do some education, and really get products designed for your skin type and for your needs.
Good. That's great advice. Thanks for that.
Great. Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how people can achieve more confidence and boost their self-esteem. I'd love to hear that from you.
Yeah, I think surrounding yourself with the right people is so, so important. Jim Rohn, the prolific self-help guru who was Tony Robbins' teacher, he has a great quote regarding surrounding yourself with the right people. He said, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." So my question to the listeners tonight is this. Are you spending the time with people who support you in your goals? Or are you surrounding yourself with people who are negative and they don't want you to succeed? You know, you share your goals with them. You share your dreams with them, and they tell you you're crazy. They tell you you have no talent. They tell you you're crazy for dreaming this. If you're surrounding yourself with all of this negativity and all of this pessimism, you'll probably have a pretty low self-esteem. But challenge yourself with the right people. Challenge yourself with people who say, go for it. You can do it. I'm believing in you. Challenge yourself and face your fears. That's another tip I have. You know, if you have a hard time making eye contact with people, force yourself and start looking people in the eye when you talk to them. Work on your handshake. Make sure you're giving a firm handshake when you meet people for the first time. I love to tell women, fake it till you feel it. And it's so funny because I'm reading Sheryl Sandberg, you know, the wonderful Facebook CEO, her book Lean In. And she talks a lot about confidence and this idea of faking it till you feel it. And she told a great story about teaching aerobics in the 1980s. Now, aerobics in the 80s was influenced by Jane Fonda, right? All of those exercise and aerobics videos that she made. And aerobics at that time required people to smile when doing aerobics. So you're working out in your leotard, your hot pink leotard, leopard print, and you've got your big teased hair, and you're smiling. So Sheryl Sandberg actually taught aerobics in the 80s. And some days when she was teaching the class, the smile came naturally to her. And on other days, she had to fake it. Yet after an hour of forced smiling, she often felt more cheerful. So she faked smiling, and she felt happier because she faked it. So my point here is this. If you fake confidence, so really force yourself to make that eye contact. Really work on your handshake. Work on introducing yourself to people. Let's say you're at a party and you're always shy and you're always kind of more towards the back. Introduce yourself to people. Hand out your business card. Start talking to people. If you act more assertive, you're going to start feeling more confident. So fake it till you feel it. It's so important. And I always try to tell women and the high school girls that I speak to, fake confidence if you don't feel confident. That is a wonderful, wonderful tip. I love telling. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So before we continue, because I want to ask you in a moment about a special exercise that I know that you like to talk with people about,
yes.
your mirror exercise. So I want to ask you about that in just a minute. But I first just want to take a quick break just to tell people about the upcoming shows that we have here on the Life Coach Radio Network. So first of all, tomorrow night at 9 p.m., we've got Frank Talk. Addicted to Technology with Frank Gomes. So Frank Talk is Frank Gomes' regular weekly spot here on the Life Coach Radio Network. And his topic this time is addicted to technology. Are you afraid to break up with your smartphone? Are you spending more time with Facebook than with your significant other? Technology has reshaped our world, but it's also reshaping us in new and sometimes very destructive ways. So this is going to be a frank discussion on how to find balance with your devices, and with the onslaught of the digital revolution. And then on the 23rd at 12 o'clock noon is Fun to Fortune, Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff. So this is a real great conversation for those who have created fun businesses. Actually, it's a great conversation with those who have created fun businesses and uncovered their fortunes in the process. So callers and guests share their inspiration, their businesses, and what makes those businesses fabulous, the challenges and obstacles as well, and about what keeps them persevering and prospering. And then lastly, the third upcoming show we've got is on the 23rd, and that on the 24th, and that's at 7:30 p.m., and that's Get a Job with Kathleen Brady. Kathleen talks about how technology has revolutionized the job search process, making it easier for those who know how to use it, but incredibly frustrating for those who don't. So on Wednesday, July 24th at 7:30, you can join us to learn how to take advantage of all technology has to offer you. So Kathleen's guest, Sarah Stambouli, is a transition coach with an expertise in helping executives conduct a more efficient and effective job search. So join us as she shares her advice on how to research the hidden job market, connect to employers, and build an effective online profile. And then you can use Kate Beauty Tips to be able to look absolutely fabulous when you go into that interview and feel so confident that it's guaranteed you're going to get that job.
Yes, exactly.
So, great. And I also just want to invite people to go ahead and visit my website at www.markshaw.com. And on the seminars and events tab, you'll see a wonderful upcoming teleseminar series that I'm offering that starts in mid-August. And I'm very excited about it. Just did a pilot of it, and we're finishing that up, and it's going super well. So I'm very excited about that. So please feel free to join me on that. Just go visit me at www.markshall.com. That's MarkShall.com. And just click on the tab for events and seminars. Also, the number to call in, by the way, if you would like to ask Kate or myself a question during tonight's broadcast. So feel free to do that. We love having callers call into our shows. So the number to call in is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And just hang on the line when you call in. Just hang on hold for a bit, and we will certainly get to your call. And so, again, that's 646-716-9397. So, Kate, let's talk about the other tool that you use to boost confidence, which is your special mirror exercise.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I love talking to women about this. So another tool to boost confidence that I love to talk about is the special mirror exercise, which is going to help you be strategic about the image you're currently projecting and really help you decide what you want to project to the world. You know, strategy is everything. Strategy in business, strategy in how we present ourselves. That's really the key, and that's going to help you achieve success. So going back to this mirror exercise, stand in front of the most honest mirror you have in your home, preferably a full-length mirror, and stand there in natural light during the daytime. And I want you to ask yourself,
Actually, Kate, by honest mirror, yeah. Do you mean unforgiving?
I mean an unforgiving mirror. Go into natural.
In fluorescent light.
I know, in fluorescent lighting, a.k.a. any office bathroom. I remember always going in the office bathroom and said, oh, my gosh, is this what I really look like? And then I would go out in natural lighting and say, okay, thank goodness. My complexion is not green. Whew. So stick with natural lighting, preferably a full-length mirror, and I want you to ask yourself these three questions. So the first question that you're going to ask yourself as you're taking this very honest look at your image is this an accurate reflection of who I am and what I'm feeling on the inside? The second question I want you to ask yourself is this. Is this an honest reflection of who I want to be? And the last question, and this is a very, very important question, what types of people and energy am I attracting with my current image?
Mm.
So really take a hard, long look at yourself. And as you answer these questions, jot them down. I'm always telling women and girls, keep a notepad. Make lists, write everything down. So write down your answers. And after you complete this and answer these questions, make a game plan. Create a strategy. Going back to the importance of strategy, create a plan for yourself with to-dos and goals that are going to enable you to create an accurate self-portrait. Because you may feel like you're on top of the world and you've got so many great ideas and so much energy, and you may just feel so vibrant, so on top of everything. But you might look in the mirror during this exercise and say, you know what, I look really tired. These dark circles under my eyes and my hair, you know, I don't know how to style my hair. It's really frizzy. It's thinning. It's not really looking too good here. You know, you might see that what you look like on the outside, what you're projecting to the world, is not how you're feeling on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about making that connection. If you feel great on the inside, if you feel like you've got a ton of energy, reflect that on the outside. So work towards creating a self-image that's an accurate reflection of who you are and what you can bring to the table and who you want to be. You know, it's so important for us to present ourselves and dress for the job and life we want, right? Not the jobs we have. So if you're interning, let's say you're a millennial, you just graduated from college, you know, maybe a year ago, and you're starting at an entry-level position or you're interning somewhere, dress for the job you want. What does your boss wear? What does the president of the company wear? I know when I worked at these amazing PR firms, these incredible PR firms, the managers and the people who owned the agencies, they were always so impeccable, so polished. And that conveyed to the clients that they were organized. They were on top of their game. They were on top of their game.
Yeah.
They could go into any meeting and command attention and respect. You want people to respect you. So really take this exercise very seriously. This is your moment to tell the world, here I am. When you walk into a room, this is your here I am moment. So take it seriously and really take that honest look at yourself in the mirror. It's so important. It's hard.
Well, you know,
because we might not like what we see, but it's so important.
Sure. No, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I teach a class, a course on professional presence. And it's funny, some people who know me might be like, you teach a course on professional presence? Because I'm real playful in front of a room, and it's, you know, not necessarily what you might expect. But anyway.
It works for you. That's your thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's the Marshall thing, which is great.
Exactly. That's definitely my, anyway, I like that. I never really thought of it as a point of difference. I learned that from you tonight. That's great. So
great.
The interesting thing about that is that, you know, one of the things we talk about is clothing in the workplace.
Mm.
And
mm-hmm.
what does it communicate? And the question that we ask participants is, what is the purpose of the clothing that we wear, other than so that we don't get arrested walking naked into work? and the answer is, you know, if you think just back to, you know, even more primitive times and primitive cultures, the clothes that you choose to wear tell people what tribe you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So
people
true.
Need to know that. Because then there's all this
so
positioning
true.
In society and who gets treated how and who gets what kinds of respect and who gets deferred to in these situations and those, right? So if you look
mm-hmm.
at any company and any business, how you dress lets people know what level in the organization you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
if you want to get promoted, you can't dress just at your level. You need to dress like a member of the tribe that you want to be in. Because that shows that you've got the goods to be in that. So if
Absolutely.
You're looking for a position or a level where everyone there wears a suit and a tie if you're a man, you know, or a business suit if you're a woman, and that's what you're looking for, that's what you've got to wear
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis
mm-hmm.
in the position that you're in now. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you, Mark. And it goes back to having a strategy, having that game plan, looking around you and really asking yourself, what is my boss wearing? What is the president of the company wearing? You know,
right.
some professions are super casual. You know, my
mm-hmm.
fiance works in production, and the casual, it's very casual. The dress code is jeans and a collared shirt, and it works for him. You know, he's editing, he's on his feet. It works for him. But if you're
mm-hmm.
in that corporate environment, like you said, where everyone's in a suit, you're in finance, you're in the legal profession, what are people around you wearing? And
yeah.
really, you know, dress accordingly. Have that strategy. It's so
yeah.
important to look the part. It shows people you care. And
yeah.
they're going to trust you in high-profile situations. If you come to work looking great and polished, looking like you really care, they might pull you into a meeting with a
mm-hmm.
new client. They might pull you into some new business pitches. So it's
sure.
so important to really have that image that
it's
works
like the,
for you. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead. The image
no, no,
that
no,
works
go
for
ahead.
You. I was going to say, it's almost like if you remember that Billy Crystal character on Saturday Night Live. I can't remember his name right now, but perhaps somebody can type it to me in the chat room because there's a few people in the chat room online right now. But he was like, it's not how you feel, darling, it's how you look. And you look
yeah.
marvelous. Remember that? And that was very
that.
Funny. And there is some truth to that apparently in some realms, whether we like it or not, and whether it should be that way or not.
Yeah.
It is to a degree in many environments, and in some environments
reality.
It's not. And many of us
mm-hmm.
choose to be in environments where that stuff doesn't matter, and you know those environments are out there. And I think in some of our more traditional business environments, this stuff unfortunately or fortunately has to be paid attention to. You know,
absolutely.
And I say unfortunately or fortunately because
right.
for some of us, we don't have a problem with it. And for some of us, it's like, oh, my God, I hate that. That's not
right.
fair.
Right.
They shouldn't judge me on that stuff. They should judge me on
right.
my work, not on my appearance.
Right. But, you know, sometimes we need to make that great first impression in order for people to realize that we can bring incredible work to the table. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Sometimes we need to accept realities of our world and realities of our society in order for people to listen to us and say, you know what, I'm going to listen to what this person has to say. They look the part. I'm going to take them seriously. I respect them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just about looking the part and having someone take you seriously, and then you can pull out the big guns and say, this is what I can bring
sure.
to the table. These are my ideas. This is my strategy. But it's important
yeah.
for people to listen to you first. And to say, okay,
well,
this person cares about their job. I'm taking them seriously. What can they bring to the table?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
go for it.
We make those assessments on
yeah.
based on visual cues. And in fact, even in communication, I teach this in my communication skills classes, that 55% of what we communicate is visual, 38% of what we communicate is vocal. And 7% is the words that we use. So whether you're in front of a room leading a seminar, or you're talking one-on-one in a job interview or anything like that, 55% of what people respond to in your communication is what they see. It's your eye
that
contact, your body posture, and what you're wearing, right?
I love that.
And then
that.
The others is
and
like
I,
yeah. vocal tone and pitch
yeah.
and volume. 7%
that
is the
incredible.
Things that we're actually saying.
That is absolutely incredible. And I remember you telling us that at the company that I was working for when you came and spoke.
Right.
And I never forgot that. I never forgot that because it was so incredible to think that people, their perception of us is largely based on how we look, the image that we're projecting.
Right.
That's powerful. That's important. And that's a reality that we need to face. So
yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Right.
So Kate, I'd like to know, if you had a number one tip, like your top number one
top
tip from all your experience and all that for building confidence,
yes.
What would that be?
So my number one tip out of all of the tips and tricks that I have up my sleeve is this. Stop comparing yourself to people and putting others on pedestals. And I'm going to say that again because it's so important. Stop comparing yourself to people and putting others on pedestals. You know, we unfortunately live in a society that is obsessed with celebrity culture, that's obsessed with fame and fortune, and we're told who we should look up to, who we should think is attractive, and who we need to emulate. And
so
I'm here to
stop,
tell
I can
you,
stop my quest. I can stop my quest to look for to look like Brad Pitt or Hugh Jackman.
You're Mark Shaw, and that's pretty darn good. So, and you own it. So I love that about you. But it's so important for us to really realize that you are the star of your life, not a celebrity, not an athlete. You're the star of your life. So embrace who you are. Own it. Going back to my favorite quote of all time from Oscar Wilde, be yourself. Everyone else is taken. Own who you are and stop comparing yourself to other people. It's so easy for us to look at someone and say, they're smarter than us. They're prettier than us. They're more popular than us. I could never do what they do. You're right. You could never do what they do because you're not them. You're you. And own who you are. And likewise, they could never do what you do.
Right.
That person that you may think is so great could never do what you do once you identify that thing, your point of difference, like we say in marketing. Once you identify your point of difference, you're going to be untouchable. So what's that point of difference? You know, it's part of a mission that we all have to figure out what makes us special, what makes us unique. There's something there. There's something there because we're living on the planet. We're alive. We all have a mission. But my number one tip for the listeners out there is to stop comparing yourself to people. Please, when you start doing this, when you stop comparing yourself to people, stop putting other people on pedestals, whether it's a celebrity, whether it's your girlfriend, whether it's your boss, whether it's whoever it is in your life, stop putting them on pedestals. Put yourself on a pedestal and realize that you're the star of your life. Once
yeah,
you embrace that, yep, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, in the coaching world, we call those gremlins. You know, those little monsters that sit on our shoulders
like
and say,
that.
"Oh, you're not ugly. You're not good enough. You're too ugly. You're not attractive enough. Look at you. You're not young enough
yep.
to be, you know, this or that. Yeah, you're too old. You're too young. You're
Tune
too fat. You're too
out.
Skinny. You're too tall. You're too short.
Tune it
All
out.
That stuff. Yeah.
Tune it out. Focus on the positive. Focus on the good parts about you. Tune out that negativity. You know, we are our thoughts. So if you've got all of those gremlins in your head, if you've got that negative thought in your head all the time, you're going to become that. So focus, put your energy, put your focus on what you want to become and the positive qualities about yourself. Don't pay any attention to what you think is negative or what you think is lacking. Focus on the positive, and please stop comparing yourself to other people. That is my number one tip. I live it every day. I tell women to stop comparing themselves to people, and trust me, it works. Once you stop doing that, you will be the most confident person in the world. You will be untouchable. You will be unstoppable.
Well, judging from how beautiful you are on your website and in person,
oh,
I don't
you.
Think I think
oh.
if anybody's going to compare themselves to anybody, they're going to compare themselves to you.
No.
You
know, every single woman's beautiful. We're all beautiful.
Absolutely.
You know, whether
absolutely.
You have gorgeous eyes, gorgeous cheekbones, gorgeous lips, gorgeous hair, I can guarantee you there is one beautiful quality in every single woman on the planet. There is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Find
no,
out
absolutely.
What that is. Embrace it. If you've got beautiful eyes, play up your eyes. Play up your eyes. If you've got beautiful full lips, play up your lips. If you've got gorgeous hair, play up your hair. There is something that makes us uniquely beautiful. Find out what that is. Embrace it and tap into it.
Well, you know, it's like the song that I talked about. What would
yes.
you do? What would you do if you only knew that you're beautiful. Like, how much differently would you be living your life?
I know.
You know?
I know.
And it's amazing because of the things that we don't do because we don't feel good enough about how we look. And really what holds us back is not our appearance. It's what we think of our appearance.
Exactly.
That holds us back. You know,
in fact,
there's a quote I use that we use in the IPEC program and in the classes, which is, it's not what we are that holds us back. It's who we think we're not. It's not who we are that holds us back. It's who we think we're not. That's what it is.
So true.
Right? And, you know, and how many people do we know that in the face of other people telling them wonderful things about themselves, they still don't let it in? And that's you know, so damaging.
It's so damaging, but it's a harsh reality. But if you change your thoughts, you change your life. So if you're one of those people, even if you've got positive people around you telling you that you're beautiful, telling you that you're smart, telling you that you can do anything you want to do, but you don't believe it, start believing it. And I guarantee you your life is going to change. If you tell yourself, I can do it, your life is going to change. Please start telling yourself you can do it and flood your mind with positivity.
Mm-hmm.
Flood it with positive thoughts.
Absolutely.
It works. It works.
646-716-9397 is the number to call in if you have a question for the lovely, wonderful Ms. Kate DuPont or for the lovely, wonderful me as well. Either one of us. We're happy to answer your call.
Lovely and wonderful.
That's right. Everybody out there is lovely and wonderful because they're my listeners. So,
exactly.
And they're your network too. So, so they all are, and we all are. So again, that's 646-716-9397. Here's one thing I'd really like to know: can beauty really propel someone up the corporate ladder? And when I ask that, the thing I'm just always thinking of is, you know, I do a lot of work in the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
I had a full-time job in the corporate world for a limited time. And, you know, women always talk about not being taken seriously as men in the workplace, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then we're saying, you know, look pretty, look beautiful. Well, isn't that exactly what's counting against women in many cases?
You know, I'm so happy you asked this question because beauty really can propel you up the corporate ladder. In 2011, the New York Times ran a really fascinating article titled Up the Career Ladder, Lipstick in Hand. Google it, check it out, read it. But essentially, this article examined the relationship between makeup and success in the workplace. And essentially, according to a research study, they proved that wearing makeup has been shown to increase people's perception of a woman's likability, her confidence, and, you know, provided she doesn't overdo it and show up to the office looking like Lady Gaga going on stage, her trustworthiness. And this really maps back to my philosophy of being strategic when it comes to our appearance and makeup choices. So if you're looking to climb that corporate ladder, you're looking to get that promotion, craft an image that says, I'm polished, I'm pulled together, I'm organized, I care about my position, I care about my role within the company. And look at other powerful women in our society. Look at women like, you know, Michelle Obama, Hillary Clinton, Arianna Huffington, Oprah, Martha Stewart. I mean, these are women who are impeccably polished and pulled together. They're not shying away from beauty and style and looking good. I mean, rather they're embracing it, and they've all created these signature styles. You know, Michelle Obama and her amazing arms, wearing those beautiful sleeveless sheath dresses. Arianna Huffington, she has amazing hair. You know, her hair is always impeccably blown out and coiffed. I mean, they really have created these signature styles that are accurate reflections of who they are. They are women who are unstoppable, women who are powerful, women who are respected. So they really have mastered their own self-portrait. So my challenge to you tonight is this: master your self-portrait. What do you want to do? Who do you want to be? What do you want to achieve? And create a self-portrait for yourself using that mirror exercise that I talk about. But beauty can absolutely 100% propel you up that corporate ladder.
Wow, that's really great to know. So, you know, here's my question for you then. Who is your most powerful, ideal female role model that you look up to in that way?
I love that question. That's a hard question. I have so many inspiring women that I look up to. There is a woman named Lynette Lewis. Check out her website. It's lynettelewis.com, but she is a motivational speaker. She speaks at corporations, but she is someone that I look up to as a mentor. She is incredibly strong, incredibly powerful, and she is a giver. I'm kind of all about this idea of being a giver in society. Mm-hmm. So what can I do that brings value to people? How can I help people? I got into beauty, and I'm continuing to work in beauty and really have devoted my life to this industry because I want to help women. Mm-hmm. I saw as a teenager when I was 19 years old that beauty changed lives. I was working in a very powerful industry, and I saw firsthand what it can do to women. So I look up to Lynette Lewis. I look up to Aria Huffington. I look up to Sandra Lee from the Food Network, someone who really built a brand and built a career. She started with absolutely nothing and really worked her way up. I look up to wonderful Debbie Ford. You know, who is an incredible motivational speaker. I have so many women that I look up to as mentors and that I would love to, you know, have an impact on other women like they do. I really am doing this to help other women. I'm here to help. I'm here to serve. I'm on a mission.
So, so here's a question that that just kind of dawned on me that I'd love to ask you. And that is, when you thinking about shows like Here Comes Honey Boo Boo and all these like little kids fashion shows and these parents that, I mean, I'm trying not to come from judgment here, but clearly I have
a
judgment. Okay. Yeah, I have a judgment about it. I do. But, you know, and parents that think they're doing their kids a big favor by dressing them up when they're 5 and putting all this makeup on them and making them look like they're 25. I personally, I find two things. Number one, I believe it has to be damaging to the kids, not helpful to their self-esteem. And number two, forget about what it says about our society that we have TV shows that glorify it. I won't even go there. Maybe that'll be another topic for another show.
Sure.
But what do you think of young girls like that being taught to wear makeup and all that kind of stuff in that way and having that glorified?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Honey Boo Boo because I consciously try to limit the amount of TV that I watch. I'm a big believer in reading. So if I can be reading a book and learning and actually, you know, working on building my value to other women and working on building how I can help other people, I would much rather spend my time doing that. You know, it's hard for me to comment on parenting because I'm not a parent. I don't have children. You know, maybe in 10 years I would love to have some children. So it's hard for me to comment on parenting because that's really something I don't know much about. You know, I can't really say so that something's right or wrong because I don't have children. But I can tell you that, you know, I'm really here to help and inspire women and young girls. And whatever is going to boost a young girl's confidence, I'm all for it. You know, if doing a pageant is going to help boost her confidence, you know, I don't know if it does. I don't really know that world. I'm not an expert in that world. But I'm really all about whatever is going to help boost a woman's confidence, a girl's confidence and self-esteem, I support it full-heartedly.
Great. Which actually also brings me to one question. I just have to mention this person because, as soon as I just mention her name, you'll know what I'm asking. You ready?
Sure.
Can we talk here? Joan Rivers. Right? Talk about spending incredible time, focus, and energy on your appearance. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, does she take it too far? Or does she just look freaking great and good for her?
You know what? Whatever makes you feel beautiful, own it. She owns who she is. I think she is fabulous. I think she's so funny.
I love her to death.
I love her to death, too. I mean, talk about building a brand. She's on QVC. She has her own show. I mean, she's
I think, in her 70s, right? I mean, late 70s, and she's
yeah.
working so much. I think it's so inspiring that she has so much energy, and she's really on this mission to make people laugh and inspire people. I love
yeah.
her. And if she feels... Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, in fact, she's 80 because she just turned 80 recently.
80? Wow.
Yes, because I sing in the New York City Gay Men's Chorus, and Melissa actually had contacted us to sing at her mom's 80th birthday. Something else took place and happened, and it ended up not happening. But she's been a supporter of us for a long time. So,
I love it.
Yeah.
I love
which is why I've had the opportunity to meet her four times. And I'll tell you, I have to say this. Aside from the fact that she's just an absolutely wonderful woman, and she's really
yeah.
an incredible woman. She's an incredible woman. And, you know, she has her shtick and whatnot. And that's her shtick, and that's her brand, you know, like,
sure.
like you talk. But she is such a wonderful, generous, incredible woman.
Yeah.
I just love her. And
I love her,
you know,
too.
I think she looks fantastic.
Yep.
That's all
I have to say. I love her, too. I mean, she was a pioneer. Talk about being the only woman in comedy in the 70s. She was really a pioneer. Talk about confidence, right?
Yeah.
You're a woman,
yep.
you're going on the stage, and you're owning who you are. She has
right.
a point of difference. I love her, too. And it's so funny that you met her four times. I have to tell my friend Jason. I hope Jason's listening right now. My good friend Jason, he loves her. So he's gonna get a kick out of that story.
Jason, I'll meet you for coffee. I'll tell you all about
yeah.
her, and I'll show you the photo I have of myself with
He'll
her.
He'll die. He will love
her.
Ah,
that's
he
great.
Loves
that's
her.
Great.
He loves her.
That's great. Yeah, no, she's really, really, really awesome.
Love
she's really, really awesome.
Love her.
And how many people have impersonated her? You know, all the drag queens out there that have
yeah.
impersonated her and tried to be
yeah,
her. And actually, any makeup and beauty tips for drag queens?
Well, you know, I'm a huge fan of false eyelashes. There's
uh-huh.
a wonderful called Beauty Blitz that I did a little interview for last year. I love false eyelashes. I love glamour. I love, you know, making a little bit of an entrance. I love old movies and Hollywood, and I just kind of love the glamour. And you know, they put so much time and effort into their looks, and I love it. And the hair is always coiffed, and I love the looks of so many wonderful drag queens out there. And keep being fabulous, keep being glamorous. I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah, oh, that's great. That's great. In fact, you know, I'll tell you a very interesting story, speaking of that, and then I want to wrap up asking how we can get in contact with you if people want
yeah.
to. But, you know, we talk about how, you know, again, how we look symbolizes so much and stands for things. And so speaking of drag queens, I remember I was on a panel once. It was when I was working at NYU. And I was on a panel discussion, and there were several people on this panel, one of whom was a drag queen performer, wonderful, wonderful performer, Coco Peru. Was one of the more well-known drag queens in New York. It was very interesting.
I love the names.
Yeah.
I love
right,
the
right?
Names.
Exactly. Head of lettuce.
Names are fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, so Coco tells this really great story. You know, she's got this big red wig, so she's got this beautiful red hair, right? And she talks about how when, as a little kid, he used to wear a ski hat with a red pom-pom on top of it, and the other boys would tease him by grabbing the hat by the red pom-pom and then tossing it around and playing keep away
Aww.
And then, you know, throwing it in the mud and calling
Aww,
him names
so
and all that, and they'd throw it in the snow and all this kind of stuff, and he'd run home crying. So he says, so one day my mom took the hat, and she took out her sewing kit, and she put inside that red pom-pom all the pins and needles that she could put in that pom-pom.
Oh my
so that
goodness.
Way, when those boys grabbed my hat by the pom-pom, they
wow.
got a fistful of pins. And he
wow.
says, right? And then he says, and that red pom-pom has now, because it's a symbol of reclaiming my power, has now turned itself into this fabulous red wig.
Wow, that's a great
so,
story.
Isn't that great? So his wig, the wig
story.
That he uses as her, symbolizes his reclaiming of his power. So it's really
what
great. And I love
story.
Isn't it great? I loved when he told that.
Fantastic.
And it's just wonderful. So reclaiming power. You know, that's, that sounds like really the essence of what you do is you help women and girls reclaim their power. And
yes.
I can't say how incredibly important that is. And it's so wonderful to know that there are people out there that are doing that kind of work. So, so Kate, if people want to reach you, first of all, how is it that you work? Individuals, lectures, large events? What?
So if anyone out there listening would like to connect with me to have me speak at their company or group or organization, I try to steer clear of having individual clients, but rather public speaking engagements, so where I could speak to multiple people at one time. So please feel free to contact me through my website. My website is www.katedupont.com. I have a contact section on my website, and we can set something up. So sometimes we just need a little encouragement, motivation, someone there cheering us along the way. So if I can bring value to your company or organization or event at this time, contact me and we'll talk. But I'm here. I would love to speak at your company or organization and really motivate and inspire other women. So that's how you reach me.
Great, wonderful. And also you can reach Kate through my website. If you go onto my website, you'll see a link to her website. So you can just go to markshall.com. Again, that's M-A-R-K-S as in Sam, C-H-A-L-L.com. And just click on the Mark My Words radio show tab, and you'll see Kate's information up there and a link to her website, and that'll remain up there until my next show, which is on August 4th. So my next show is August 4th, and just a real brief intro to that. I'm so excited about the next show because I'm going to be interviewing an incredible man with an incredible story of personal transformation and triumph. I don't want to say too much. Just tune in and listen because you will be motivated and inspired by my next guest, Mr. Jason Littman. And so please tune in on August 4th. At 9 p.m. for the next episode of Mark My Words. Kate, thank you so much for being here with me this evening.
Thank
I really appreciate it. I know that my listeners have appreciated it. I can't wait to hear all the feedback that will come back in on Facebook and whatnot.
Great.
So any parting words of wisdom for folks out there?
Keep going. Keep going. If you have a dream, if you've got goals, keep doing them. You know, be action-focused. Focus on action. You know, focus on positive thinking, but really focus on action. Make lists. Have a game plan. Have a strategy. And realize the importance of beauty, using beauty and style as a tool to help you look and feel your best. But keep going, guys. Don't stop. If everyone around you is laughing at you for doing what you want to do, be bold. Own who you are. Going back to my quote from Oscar Wilde, be yourself. Everyone else is taken. Embrace who you are. Find your point of difference, and don't make any apologies for owning who you are.
Great. Thank you so much again, Kate. Really,
thank
really
you,
great
Mark.
Advice. So again, to my listeners, thank you all for being here and tuning in and listening, whether you're listening live or you're listening to the archive. The link that you clicked to listen live also acts as the link for the archive. So feel free to listen again and again and again and again and listen all you want. Pleasure being with all of you this evening. Pleasure again being with you, Kate. Thank you all. This is Mark Shaw signing off on tonight's episode of Mark My Words. And I'll see you all in 2 weeks, everybody. Bye-bye.